In a few weeks, I'll be 72 years old. I want to share something I've learned with you in those 72 years, okay? That is, every year there's a summer. And every summer gets hot. And some summers are hotter than the other. And this is one of them. But the Lord promised that there'd always be summer and winter. So don't worry about it. Okay? Just keep your chin up and keep on keeping on. I think us preachers sometimes we short ourselves because so many passages of Scripture are so familiar. And we kind of shy away from them because they are so familiar. In Jeremiah chapter 18, let's read verses 1 through 6, okay? The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel." I want to preach to you tonight a sermon that I've titled, Stay on the Wheel. Stay on the wheel. All right. Father, we thank you tonight for being here, and thank you for the good service that it's been, for the good singing, the testimonies, the prayers. And God, I'm going to admit to you and to everybody under the sound of my voice tonight that as the brother prayed earlier and he prayed for me, I prayed, God, I said, God, help. But Lord, I want to change that, and I want to say, God, you do it tonight. Don't help, but Lord, you do it, because we're going to do nothing without you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd come down and meet our needs tonight. Whatever those needs, my needs, the needs of everyone under the sound of my voice, God, you have something for us tonight. God, you settled me on this message weeks ago. And Lord, I pray now that you'll just preach me for your honor and your glory. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
When God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, nation of Israel, Judah, however you want to refer to it, but they were in a mess. Things were going bad. And the problem was that the people of Israel were seeking after the clay instead of the potter. They turned from God. They had quit seeking after Him and went after the things of the world. And so God sent Jeremiah down to give him an object lesson. And you know, we all can do well with an object lesson every once in a while. It'll help us a little bit. They were in a spiritual crisis. So he went down and he watched the potter work and watched him shape the vessel on the wheel. And of course, the Scripture says, we read that it was marred in the hands of the potter. And I want to say something to you tonight, okay? Now we know it's a simple sermon. You know, we are the clay. God is the potter. And the wheel is the circumstances of life. The things that happen to us in day-to-day living. But did you ever think that you don't get to choose what God makes out of you, but you get to choose the potter? That you let mold your life. You know, we talk a lot in our society today about self-made men or self-made women. I mean, you know, we put a lot of emphasis in that because we like to choose our own path and do our own thing and line it out just the way we want it to be. But the self-made man, that's a misnomer. That's not correct. There is no such thing as a self-made man. In the real scheme of things, we are only as valuable as we let God make us. I listened to the talent up here tonight. I listened to those kids singing and just thank God for them, as has already been said. But the talents and the abilities that we possess, they're not of our own volition. They're not of our own doing. It's not something that we can practice or work on or whatever, but it is just the shape that we are taken on because we have submitted ourselves into the hands of the potter. Right. And to these young people sitting here under the sound of my voice tonight, stay yielded to the touch of the potter. Stay yielded to that still small voice. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do what He encourages you to do, what He helps you to do. Step out in faith. God will never let you down. God will never fail you. You just keep trusting. Keep putting your life in His hands. There is nothing that the church cannot do. Nothing that the church cannot accomplish so long as we are shaped by the hands of the potter.
Amen.
Amen.
I've had so many thoughts on this. I wish I could put them all up on that board back there so I could remember about half of them. But did you know that? You know that every human life, Brother Boyd, has at least one flaw?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Preacher, you got a flaw.
More than that, yeah. More than one.
You know, I look pretty good, don't I, considering what you got to work with.
Yeah. You look nice.
I mean, you know. But what y'all don't know is... Now, y'all need to pray for me. Because when I go home and my wife finds out I cut the toe out of my sock, I'm going to need your prayers. Okay?
Yeah.
But the point I want to make tonight is just simply this. We try to hide our flaws.
Yeah.
You didn't know I had a hole in my sock.
No.
You had no idea because it was hidden.
Yeah.
And we all try to pretend that everything is always hunky-dory in our lives. You know, I sat there and I thought, y'all don't sing washed in the blood like we sing it down in Clay County, because we wash.
That's right.
Yeah.
We wash in the blood instead of wash. But just think about it tonight. God is wanting to mold your life. But the thing is this, you got to stay on the wheel.
Yeah.
You've got to stay where God can use you. I don't know. Susie and I, we usually try to go to Arts and Crafts Fair over in Ripley every year. And a couple of years ago, we were there, and there was a potter there and was working. And some young girl was there and was wanting to make something. And he was helping her, and he was taking her hands and guiding her. And she made a pretty good-looking pot. I mean, it looked pretty good. But the thing is, she couldn't do it by herself. She had to have somebody's hands guiding her. Now listen, you cannot make out of yourself what God wants you to be.
Amen.
You've got to have the hands of the potter molding your life. You've got to have the hands of the potter shaping you. And you get these little hard spots. These little rocks. You get hard feelings against somebody. And the potter can't work with that garbage.
Right.
I mean, it won't work. It just absolutely won't work. You get mad at your neighbor over something. His dog come over and messed in your yard, and you hold it against him or whatever it may be. And you're harboring a grudge against somebody. And God's not going to make out of you what you have the potential to be. Because the only thing that the clay has to offer is the potential to be what God wants it to be.
Amen.
That's the only thing we have to offer to God is the potential of what we will allow God to do in our lives.
Good.
We're found flawed.
Yeah.
But I got good news. I got real good news. God can make us again.
Yes, amen.
God can make us again. God can straighten us up. God can... But the thing is, you got to stay on the wheel.
Right.
You know, people get mad at God. They get off the wheel. Why, it'd been real easy for Brother Boyd and Miss Jean to get mad at God because of what's been going on in their life.
Right.
Been real easy for them to get all bent out of shape. And my God, you've been there more than likely.
Yeah.
More than likely, you've been in that situation where if things would have gone the way you wanted them, you maybe would still be serving God the way you should be, But something's happened in your life and you're kind of holding it against God or holding it against the church or holding it against the preacher or holding it against somebody else, one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Better to hollering for unity in our country. How about we have some unity in our churches?
Amen. Amen.
How about we put aside some grudges and some hard feelings, some anger and some disappointment and all and discouragement and all that stuff, and have some unity in the body of Christ, fitly joined together, everybody doing their part for the glory of God. He's worthy of our praise. You know, old Humpty Dumpty, he just needed the Lord in his life. You know, he fell off the wall and broke all into pieces and wouldn't nobody could put him back together again. And that may be you tonight. You may feel like Humpty Dumpty tonight. Your life's a mess. Your life's all broken. Things have happened that are beyond your control and you've got bent out of shape. And your life is broken maybe because of the choices you made.
Yeah.
Or maybe because of what someone did to you or said to you or whatever it may be. And you just can't get it back together. But I've still got good news for you tonight. God can still put it back together. God can bring it back together. And He can put it together and make something beautiful. He's made something beautiful out of my life. Isn't there a song about that? He made something beautiful of my life. Just think about it. But you've got to stay in the potter's hand. You've got to stay on the wheel.
Amen.
Now, the thing about the potter's wheel is you don't just lay on the potter's wheel. When they take that lump of clay, they work it and they get all the air bubbles and everything out of it. When they get it all just the way they want it, they take that lump of clay and they just throw it on the wheel.
Yeah.
Now, the secret to that is this. You got to put the clay in the center of the wheel. You got to put your life in the center of God's wheel.
Yeah, that's good.
If you put the clay out on the perimeter of that wheel, why, it's going to be the ungodliest mess you ever seen. Because it's going to be going this way instead of just twirling right around. And so if you let your relationship with God, if you get out of the center of God's will, you're asking for trouble in your life.
Amen.
And the only safe place to be for any Christian is to be in the subjective will of God.
Amen.
Be willing to be what God wants you to be. It's a dangerous place to be in the permissive will of God. Being in the permissive will of God means that you might get by with something a little bit. You may get by with something for a little while, but it's not going to go on forever. God's going to call you into accounting. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Do you know that your life is a direct reflection of Christ in your life?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go down to the grocery store and act like an idiot, that's a direct reflection of Christ in your life.
Yeah,
if you go to the workplace and act like a dummy, that's a direct reflection of Christ in your life.
Amen.
That's all we are, is a reflection of Christ in our life. The clay has the potential, but He controls the speed of the wheel. He does. He controls us. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life that I have felt like my life has been out of control. God, what are You doing? I know, Lord, and I've said this so many times. He said He'd not put more on us than what we could bear. And sometimes I say, God, I think You got me mixed up with somebody else. I think You put more on me than what I'm supposed to carry. But God doesn't make any mistakes.
That is right.
But God controls the speed of the wheel. Now, sometimes our decisions, sometimes the choices that we make will cause the wheel to kind of go out of control. But just remember, God's still in charge of the wheel.
Absolutely.
He's still in charge of the wheel. He's still, I was sitting there in my study this afternoon trying to bone up on this a little bit. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about that old song about the wheels on the bus go round and round, round. I thought, boy, that's the way my life is sometimes. My life just goes round and around. I get on the outside of that potter's wheel. And you know, the vessel won't stay. Sooner or later, it'll fly off.
Yeah. That's right.
It'll fly off if we don't remain in the center of God's will. And folks, I tell you, I just want you to stay on the wheel tonight. God's not finished with you. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your neighbor. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your mom, your dad, your children. Don't give up on the dope addict. Don't give up on the drunkard down there on the street. God's not finished.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
When God's finished, He'll take you off the wheel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But not until He's finished.
Yeah.
I got some good news, and then I've got some news that might sober you up a little bit tonight. Because the vessel's not finished till it goes through the fire.
That is right.
That is right.
It's not finished till it goes through the fire.
Amen.
You know what the fire will do? The fire will prove the performance of the clay.
Yeah.
If there's an air bubble in that clay when it goes into the fire, you know what will happen? It'll pop.
Yeah.
It'll bust. It'll crack. It'll break. But you got to go through the fire. Why do we get mad at God when things get tough in our lives? You know what we do? You know what we do so many times? We pray and ask God to remove the very thing that He's using to try to shape us into what He wants us
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
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 Now I'm going to say that again if I can.
Yes, sir.
A lot of times we pray and try to get God to remove the very thing that He's wanting to use to make us into what He wants us to be.
Amen. Amen.
We get mad at our kids. They're not acting right. We ask God, we pray, and we say, God, won't You do something with my kids? We need to say, God, won't You do something with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
We get stuck in traffic. I was coming up 79. You know, they're working on about 4 or 5 miles of it. Way up there in the front, there was a car. And behind him was a state trooper. Well, I usually go through them zones about 70. I slow down to about 70 when I go through those work zones. But that car, you know, because he had a trooper right on his tail, he was doing 55. And I was just a-fussing. Give it some gas. Go on. I need to get there. I don't want to be late.
Yeah.
And what I should have been praying was, God, give me a little patience.
Yeah.
It ain't going to make but about a minute or two's difference
right.
in where I'm going.
Yeah.
What's the big hurry anyway? I was a little early. But that's the way we are, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what? We've all got those flaws.
Yes, we do.
And the only thing that's going to take them out is the potter's hands.
Yeah.
We can't do it ourselves.
That is right.
No matter how hard you've worked, no matter how much effort you've put into it, you can't do it yourself.
Right.
Some of us may be willing to confess a wrong attitude every once in a while, but it's not very often that we'll fess up to anything like that. Clay's pretty worthless by itself.
Yeah.
All right, here's the scene in Jeremiah. Okay? Like I told you, they had turned their back on God, and God was getting ready to let them be invaded down the road. But He wanted Jeremiah to know that he could do what he wanted to with the nation of Israel. However it pleased him. Point number one, God has a plan for every life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Every life, God has a plan. May not be your plan. But God has a plan.
Yes, amen.
It was not my plan to become a missionary to Haiti. Never entered my mind until I made the first trip down there. Had no intention. Brother Boyd, Miss Jean, probably I can never remember where you're working at. I can never what?
Kenya.
Kenya?
Yeah.
probably ever had any idea of going to Kenya. But God had a plan.
Yeah.
And see, I'm nobody special, and they're nobody special. God just had a plan. And God, I got good news for you tonight. God's got a plan for you.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to encourage you tonight. God has a plan for your life. Now, your name may never be up in lights. You may never get loud acclaim. You may never be on television or radio or anything like that. But God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
And the best, most sensible thing that you can do is seek out God's plan for your life. So the clay is just, God said to Jeremiah, basically, I'm not through with the nation of Israel.
That's right.
He said, I'm going to remake them.
Right.
He said, they failed me, just like I failed him, just like you failed him.
Yeah.
God said, I'm not done. You're still here.
Amen.
God's leaving you here for a reason. God hasn't given up on you.
Amen.
Don't give up on yourself. You know, one of the hardest people to forgive sometimes is yourself.
Yeah.
For the mistakes you've made, the words you've said, the actions you've done.
Yeah.
But if God doesn't hold it against you, why do you want to keep hold of it?
Right.
Turn it loose and let it go. Just let it go. The clay has nothing to brag about, nothing at all. Is anybody here tonight glad that God has a plan for your life?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does that give you any comfort at all?
Yes,
does that give you any help at all? Does that give you any encouragement at all?
Yes,
that you're not in this thing by yourself.
That is right.
Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes, amen.
Brother, we ought to shout the glory down every once in a while.
Amen. Amen.
We ought to just think about who we're serving and what we're doing.
Yes.
God has a plan for every life.
Yes.
If you're here and unsaved tonight, God's plan for your life is for you to be saved.
Right.
It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you don't know Him in the forgiveness of sin, God has a plan for your life. If you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has a plan for your life. He wants you to lead a life of separation.
Yes.
He wants to have you. He wants you to enjoy your salvation. I can never remember his name who preached the sermon entitled Payday Someday.
R.G. Lee.
R.G. Lee. Thank you, brother. Brother, it's payday today in my book.
Yes, amen.
I mean, yeah, we got great things waiting.
Yeah.
But it's payday today. I enjoy my Christian life.
Amen.
I enjoy fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. I enjoy being in the house of God. I enjoy singing the songs.
Yeah.
I enjoy getting to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I really do. Sanctification. God has a plan for you to be sanctified. That just means set apart for the Lord's work.
Right.
Ain't nothing mysterious about it. It's just part of God's plan for your life. He just wants you to be set aside. God's plan for your life is safety. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have an accident. It doesn't mean anything like that. But that means in the end, everything's going to end well.
Right.
In the end, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. God has a plan for your life, and that's for you to get into Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
To get into the Word of God. Do you know that if we are the clay, then the Word of God is the water?
Yeah.
Think about that.
And the only thing that will make us pliable in the hands of the potter is the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
So if you're not reading your Bible,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
If you're not spending time in the Word of God, I'm just going to leave it right there.
Yes.
You fill in the rest.
Yeah.
That's good.
You fill in the rest.
Yeah.
The Word. Just think about it. We sinful, finite beings can hinder the hand of Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Think that's Mama.
Now that ought to cause you to sit up
and
think a little bit. We can actually limit the Almighty, all-knowing, sovereign Creator of the entire universe.
Amen.
Because we refuse to be pliable in the hands of the potter.
Yeah.
God made us free moral agents. I'm glad that He did.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that He gave me enough sense to surrender my will to His will.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God makes the difference in our lives.
Yes,
whether you read it, whether you listen to it, whether it's preached, whether it's sung, whether it's just talked about.
Right.
It makes a difference in our lives. We have the awesome power to choose who we're going to serve.
Yes, sir.
Like that old hymn, we can either trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.
Amen.
Trust. Trust. You know, when Susie's riding with me and we're going down the road and I come to an intersection, I don't ever look to the right because she's sitting on the right. And if somebody's going to hit the car, they're going to hit on her side. So when we come up to that intersection, she tells me whether it's clear or whether it's not. I don't ever give it a second look. If she says it's clear, I go. Because I trust her. I trust her. Because she's not going to lie to me because it's her side that's going to get hit.
Right.
But isn't that simple?
It is.
Trust. Trust and obey.
Yeah.
Trust and obey. Whatever He says, I'll do.
Yeah.
If it's to go to Kenya, if it's to go to Walmart, if it's to go to the nursing home, hospice house, or camp in a couple of weeks, just trust and obey.
Yes, sir.
For there's no other way. We can choose, because we're free moral agents, we can choose to rebel against Him, we can choose to ignore Him, we can choose to do all those things. But when we do, it's to our sorrow and our detriment.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
When we ignore that still, small voice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I got something I want to say to you, okay? God's not going to make something big and flashy out of every life.
Right. That is right.
You are important sitting in your pew.
Yeah.
That's your pew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I came in tonight, I asked if I could sit in that pew right there. I mean, I did. Is it okay if I sit here? Well, her husband wasn't sitting beside her yet, and so I was going to be sitting beside her, and I certainly didn't want to sit beside her without asking permission.
Right.
So she put a buffer between me and her when her husband came in. You can choose to ignore.
Yeah.
But it's to your own detriment.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yep.
Point number three. I don't know if I told you point number two, but it was the fact that we can mess up God's plan for our life.
Yes.
Point number three is just simply this. God can remold our lives.
Yes, yes He can.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Amen. I'd love to think about the fact that it does not matter what you have done, where you have gone, what you have said, how you have acted, God can still save you.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
And God can still use you.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, you don't know how I've messed my Christian life up. You don't have any idea the way things I've done and things I've said and the things I've thought. And well, it's kind of like I said earlier, we've all got a flaw or two.
Yes, we do.
But God can remold you.
Yeah.
You know what he did? You know what the potter did?
Yeah.
I love this. I love this old book.
Yeah.
It gives me joy. It gives me hope for the future.
Yeah.
He took that same old lump of clay that was messed up.
Yes.
Put it back on the wheel.
Yes.
And he made it again.
Yes, he did.
That same old lump of clay.
Yes, amen.
And he made it again.
Yes.
Think about it. That's what God can do for me. That's what God can do for you.
Yes.
If you're here and you don't know him tonight,
yes,
you've never given him a chance to start molding your life.
Right.
You've never given him the opportunity. I'm going to tell you something. He's a good potter.
Yes, he is.
He's a good potter. He can make something beautiful out of your mess.
Yes. Think about that.
Something beautiful out of your mess. And all you have to do is yield. Yield to the hand of the potter.
Yes, amen.
We resist God's effort to remold us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like I said, we get those hard lumps in our lives. Those hard feelings. Those, I don't even know what to call them. Imagine slights that we've experienced somewhere along the line.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a preacher come to me several years ago. He was fighting the call to the ministry. He came to the shop where I worked at that time, and I went out in the parking lot and sat down with him in the car, and we talked about several things. But I said something to him that day. It wasn't me. It was God speaking through me. But several years later, I was preaching a revival, and he was there, and he reminded me of this. But what I told him was this. He was telling me how he had messed his life up. And he felt that God was calling him to preach, and he just didn't think he was suitable. But what I told him was this. I said, and I'm not going to call his name because some of you might know him. And I said, sir, God doesn't have any trash piles.
That is right.
God doesn't have any trash piles. God doesn't take the clay and throw it away. God just remolds it.
Yeah, amen.
God doesn't make, you know that old saying, God don't make no junk?
Yeah.
God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't have a trash pile.
Right.
God does not get rid of you.
Amen.
He'll only take you off the wheel when you are finished.
Think about it. That's good.
When you're finished. Evidently, he's not finished with Miss Jean.
That's right.
Evidently, he's not finished with me.
Right.
Or you.
Right. Right.
Think about it.
Right.
A little encouragement tonight.
Yeah.
God hasn't given up on you.
Yes, amen.
God wants to do something miraculous. Anybody here familiar with the story of Ray Riggles? Played football back in the 1930s, I think it was. Played for the California Golden Bears. I don't remember what position he played, but in the course of the game, there was a fumble. Ray Riggles picked it up. Down the field he went. Wrong way. Made it down to, I think, the 16-yard line before his own teammate tackled him and brought him to the ground. Halftime came. Ray Riggles went to the locker room, walked over in the corner and took a blanket and just put it over his head and just sat over there by himself. Halftime was over. It was time to go back out on the field, and the team got up and they left, and Ray Riggles just sat where he was at. Coach went over to him and he said, Ray, what are you doing? And Ray said, Coach, I've disgraced you. I've disgraced our team. I've lost this game. He said, I can't go back out there. And the coach looked at him and he said this. He said, Ray, the game's only half over.
Right.
Ray Riggles went back out on the field and he played like a man possessed for the rest of the game. Now I'm going to tell you why I like that story. Because I've messed my life up so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And my coach has never thrown me out of the game.
Yes, amen.
Every time he just tells me, it's just half over. It's just half over. There's still more to do. There's still more ground to be conquered. There's still more mountains to climb. And by the way, you shouldn't be praying for easy paths. You ought to be praying for strength for the journey.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Better you pray for easy paths and you'll get lazy. But in other words, pray for the strength to overcome the obstacles. Because God's trying to make something out of you.
Yes, amen.
Trying to mold you into His image. Into what He would have you to be. And you think about it and think about all those things that you might have already messed up in your life. Things that you've already failed at. Things that you've already faltered. Don't throw in the wheat. Don't throw in the towel. Okay? Stay on the wheel.
Yeah, amen.
Stay on the wheel.
Yeah, good.
If I've got anything to leave you with tonight, it's this. Stay on the wheel.
Yeah, amen.
Doesn't matter if sometimes you think the wheel is totally out of control. Just remember who's running the wheel.
Yeah.
Just stay in the center. Stay right where God wants you to be, in that subjective will. Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Yeah.
Take me. Use me.
Yeah.
Make me. Mold me into what you would have me to be.
Amen.
Now, I've often said this, and I'm going to say it tonight, and then I'm going to quit. God only uses broken things.
Yeah. Amen.
A broken heart He'll not despise.
Right.
God only uses broken things.
Yes, He does.
And I got a question for you tonight, okay? Has God ever broken you?
Yeah.
You say, preacher, I don't know. Well, I'm going to help you tonight. If you don't know, you've not been broken.
That's right.
Because when God breaks you, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm trying to help you tonight, okay?
Yeah, preacher.
If you don't know whether you've ever been broken or not, then more than likely, in fact, I'd say 99 times out of 100, you haven't been. Because when God breaks your will to His will, it's a moment in time that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
That you'll never forget.
Right.
You know, God can break these little hearts.
Yes, He can.
God can break these young hearts. These old hearts.
Mm-hmm.
These old skinflint hearts.
Yeah.
I don't know why God laid this on my heart, but I let a man, 89 years old on the parking lot of our shop. I led a man to the Lord because his granddaughter sent him a card telling him how much she loved him and inviting him to church. He came to see me and we set aside and God can use you wherever you are. You are. Now, I'm not playing frog tonight, okay?
Right.
Do y'all know the story about playing frog? Preacher, you know the story about playing frog?
No, I don't think.
There was a frog sitting on one side of the pond one day. Looked over to the other side and he wanted to go to the other side for whatever reason. But there was fish in the pond and he knew if he tried to swim across the pond that the fish would eat him. And so there was a stork there and the frog talked to the stork, and he said, "Hey, would you fly me across to the other side?" And the stork said, "Yeah," but he said, I can't grasp you in my claws. If I do, I'll hurt you." He said, "I'll tell you," the stork said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "You bite down on a stick, and I'll pick the stick up, and I'll fly you across to the other side of the pond." And so the frog did. He got a stick, and he bit down on it, and the stork picked the ends of the stick up in his claws, and he started flying across the pond. One of the other inhabitants of the pond looked up and saw. He said, "Look at that. That's amazing. Who thought of that?" And the frog said, "I did." And down he went. Down he went. You see, don't think any more of yourself than what you ought to.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying tonight when I say I'm not up here playing frog.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to brag on me.
Right.
I'm bragging on God.
Amen.
I don't even know how many people I had the privilege of leading to the Lord in a welding shop,
right,
in a machine shop,
mm-hmm,
in a parking lot, in a restaurant, just wherever God gives you the opportunity. Let God mold you and make you into what He would have you to be, okay? Stay in the center of the wheel. Why? Why stay on the wheel? I got three or four things. I'm going to go preach them. I'm just going to read them to you. Stay on the wheel for your kids' sake.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Parents, do you listen? Are you listening?
Yeah.
Have I already put you to sleep? Stay on the wheel for your kids' sake.
Yeah.
Stay on the wheel for your friends' sake.
Yeah.
Stay on the wheel for your mom and dad's sake, young people.
Yeah.
Yes. I would dare say that out of this bunch that was up here singing tonight, that there's probably some that's got moms and dads that don't know the Lord. So stay on the wheel for your mom and dad's sake. Stay on the wheel for your sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, last but certainly not least, stay on the wheel for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the one that put you on the wheel to begin with.
Yeah.
We're going to have a song of invitation. God's not done. God's not finished. I want us to praise Him tonight. I want us to magnify Him tonight. I want us to worship Him tonight. But I want to encourage you tonight to come forward and find you a place of prayer. Because I want to read you one more verse before we have this invitation. Go ahead, Mark. Get on up here. Okay, you go right ahead. Verse 12 of chapter 18, and I didn't read it earlier because I wanted to save it to the last. Scripture says in verse 12, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." That was Israel's answer for what God was wanting to do in their lives. What's your answer tonight? Why don't you come tonight, find you an altar of prayer, and just tell God, "I'm going to stay on the wheel. Mold me, make me out of me what you would have me to be." As we stand and as we sing. 304.